I'll tell you the reason why I got into speech and debate was for fun. The idea of standing up and arguing over policies and values and stuff sounded fun to me, so I got into it for that reason. After about two tournaments, the reason that I was competing changed to friends, my social life. Because pretty much all of my friends were in speech and debate. Every second that you have an opportunity to love another person and be loved by that person is valuable. And the lifelong connection, or maybe even multiple connections that you make, are priceless. There's a third reason. This is why my twin brother Cody was doing it. Trophies. The sound of applause. More than that, though, is just this intense feeling of satisfaction of having worked hard, gotten to the top of the mountain, and won. And there's no shame in that. And guys, there's going to be a lot of folks who are lecturing you at the beginning of award ceremonies. You should not be wanting to get trophies. These are just pieces of plastic collecting dust. And that's true. But there's absolutely something noble about wanting to win, and you shouldn't feel ashamed about wanting to win. But ultimately, underneath all of that, here's why your parents are forcing you to do it. Here's why they're willing to shell out literally thousands of dollars every year to make it possible for you. Self-improvement. I mentioned to you guys at the beginning of the debate camp that if I took everything else that I did in high school, which I wasn't doing to improve myself, none of it was. I didn't really care. But if I took everything else that I did in high school and weighed it against debate, I would rather do debate. I would rather be 4 years behind in history, geology, French, biology, whatever else. Now, fortunately, again, you don't have to make that choice. But the things that the debate has to offer you are manifold. You can't possibly grasp, and I mean this in the least condescending way possible, you can't possibly grasp at this point in your life what debate, speech and debate can do for you. But I think your parents kind of have a glimpse of it, which is why you're in this room, which is why they're willing to invest as much as they are. You will come away from debate a better person, and it doesn't matter what you believe to benefit from debate. It is a process that improves you. Let me give you a roadmap for what happens next. We're saying goodbye. You're going to go home, and the obvious question is, well, how do I improve now? What's the next step? I'm going to give you guys 5 steps. I'm going to draw them in a pyramid. Anyone who's familiar with Maslow's hierarchy of needs, this is just like that, but with different words. At the bottom of our pyramid is character. Character, we're going to go into a lot more detail in a bit. It's things like being a gracious loser, presenting evidence ethically. The fact is, there are some debaters who compromise their character to win. And if you come away from this debate with a darker character than when you came in, no matter what else happened, the whole thing was just a tragic waste of time. Far better for you never to have heard of forensics than for you to tarnish your character with this experience. The next step up is comprehension. And here's what I mean by this pyramid. Character is the top priority. If you have the opportunity to grow as a person, put that on the front burner, drop everything else. And growing as a person is going to be a lifelong pursuit. But hopefully, you're going to reach a point where things are at least somewhat stable, you feel like you're heading in the right direction, there isn't some huge struggle that you're facing. And if you're in that place, then you can shift your focus to the next level. And that's going to be comprehension. Not as important as character, but more important than everything above it. Comprehension means that when you have something in your mind, you can articulate it to the judge, to make sure he understands it. So in interp, that's going to be stuff like blocking and cutting the script in a way that makes sense. In debate, there's going to be stuff like organization and delivery. Enunciation will, of course, be huge. And the fact is, whatever else you're doing in the round, if the judges are missing it, all you're doing is accelerating climate change. Number 3, logic. Lincoln Douglas logic especially is a real challenge. It's not easy to get right. And it's going to take you a few years of constant practice and testing arguments, and debate's a great way to learn how to do it. You want every argument that you present to be coherent. You never want to compromise for the sake of some higher thing. But suppose you get to the place where you've grasped logic well enough that you can choose between different arguments. You'd say, well, I could go this direction, or I could accept that and run this instead. At that point, you've reached level 4. Strategy. Strategy is not easy. Being able to formulate a strategy and then execute it and have really good grasp of your delivery and have time management, it's no easy feat. But strategy is really fun because unlike comprehension and logic, you know, you're going to get to a place where the judges pretty much understand what you're talking about. And you're pretty much going to get to a place where your cases are logical. But strategy has no glass ceiling. There's always a way to improve, Because the strategy is unpredictable and as varied as every single opponent you're going to hit. There's principles to apply, but at the end of the day, you're just training yourself to have the right instincts in the round to make good choices and control the judge's pen. At the top of the pyramid, we have persuasion. Here's the idea. When a judge walks into a round, here's your stupid community judge. He walks in to the tournament. He's never been to a debate tournament before. He's freaked out by all these high schoolers wearing suits. And he's walking in with this brain that's just full of stuff. It's full of experiences and memories and opinions and fears and hopes and dreams. It's the fact that he's a father. It's the fact that he used to work at a mill, but he recently got laid off. And he goes to church regularly and all these different things that make up who he is. And he walks into the judge's orientation. He is told, you should not use your personal bias in making a decision. You should remove everything that you know about everything. And the only thing that you're allowed to have in your brain is what we just told you in orientation. Hopefully that sounds a little ridiculous when I spell it out like that. Of course, everything else is still going to be in there, rattling around. But our expectation of brand new community judges watching their very first debate ever is that they remove everything that they know, remove all of their personal bias. And we are so determined that they do this that we get furious when judges don't. You look at a ballot, this judge clearly introduced his own personal bias. This is absurd. I've been wronged. So let's try a little thought experiment. What if we just take out this human element and we replace it with Beep Boop? The computerized debate judge. Now, Beep Boop is a very complex program. You talk into a microphone. Beep Boop perfectly flows every argument, applies a logical algorithm to it to figure out who's right, and excretes a decision. Now, who thinks Beep Boop would be better than human beings? It's perfect. It's completely fair. What an awesome competitive environment. But there's a deeper problem. One person says, life is the best, because if you're not alive, nothing else matters. That's a logically tenable argument, right? The negative says, no, liberty is the best. Because if you don't have liberty, you might as well die. Give me liberty or give me death. It's worth dying for. And the affirmative says, well, you can't die for liberty if you're not alive in the first place. And the debate kind of goes back and forth like that until it finally ends. Now, who's right? Well, who would Beep Boop vote for? Both sides are logically tenable. There's no real clash or conflict between them. And so the judge just has to go, I just have to pick one to make a decision. And in order to do that, he's going to have to depend on all these crazy hopes and dreams and memories and just go, well, this one made more sense to me. He has to depend on his bias to make a decision. And here's the sad fact. Almost all Lincoln Douglas value debate rounds are decided to some degree by bias. It's not the judge's fault. It's the debater's fault for forcing them into that situation by not giving them arguments that are clearly superior to what came before them. But the problem is that if you have Beep Boop as a judge, most Lincoln Douglas ballots will just come out saying error, error, error. Or worse yet, Beep Boop just flips a coin to make a decision, which is the height of unfairness. So it's not just that we're trying to go for real world skills, it's that Beep Boop is not a functional judge. It doesn't matter how complex our technology is. We will never want to use computer judges. We need that level of bias to make a decision. Persuasion is the creation, affirmation, or alteration of bias. It is a very advanced skill. The ability to make a judge come into the room potentially thinking A and walk away thinking B, or walking away so passionate about A that he's willing to go out and do something about it. Not easy to gain that skill. And you should only really be pursuing it once you've mastered the other four, or at least developed a basic competence in them. But persuasion is out there waiting for you. And as with acting and interp, that's the one that you can spend your whole life continuing to hone.